Welcome to Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. Pastor Dom went from a life of organized crime to federal prison. There, God saved him and set him free. Soon after his release, he attended seminary and received his master's degree and is now the senior pastor of Desert Sky Baptist Church, where he serves with a passion for biblical theology right here in Casa Grande. Now let's join our host, Pastor Dominic Grimaldi.
Pastor Dominic Grimaldi here with Street Talk Theology. We take theology and bring it to the streets. I got Ashok with me. An honor to have Mr. Ashok again back with us. This is a blessing, and I know over the next months and into the year, Lord willing, if the Lord tarries. Well, I got to be careful because we definitely want to get into a post-millennium view somewhere in maybe even this the last segment, because I know Ashok is probably chomping at the bit to talk about his post-millennium view that he's always almost convincing me and Pastor Michael. And if I show Ashok all these books on post-millennium, I think he'll still look at these things. Ashok, look what you got me reading here. What the heck? But anyway, it's an honor to have my brothers here from India. I love these guys. We partner as much as we could in the radio. I got Pastor Michael here. We got the old post-mill guy, Ashok. And maybe later on down the road, we don't want to open up too many cans. We'll talk about maybe infant baptism over believer's baptism. That'll be something that we can have some fun with, right, Pastor Michael? Ashok's got a big smile on his face like that. But what we do want to continue here is the holiness of God. We, on our last segment, we left off about Nadab and Abihu going into the sanctuary. I think the Bible, might have been the king. What does it say? Ashok, they brought strange fire,
to
the Lord, right?
Yeah, not Makata's book, but they actually brought strange fire.
What is it? Yeah. Oh, is it? Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Strange fire, right? But as people that preach the word of God, because you're talking about the holiness of God, we're speaking about, do we conform to the culture? Do we make our sermons like, give me 10 ways to have my marriage better? I mean, there's places for that. But so Ashok, my question to you is, what does it mean that we need to honor the holiness of God? Does it mean that we cower? I mean, but what does it mean? So if somebody came and asked you, God is holy, the Bible says to bring your children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We need to be in the fear of God. How would you explain that theologically to somebody who wants to say, well, God is love, and that's okay, God is love, but what is it? Talk to me about the holiness of God and what that might mean.
How would I explain it to somebody? I would explain it to somebody with fear and trembling.
Good answer, huh?
And every time I speak about the holiness of God, there is a fear in the heart. Lord, do I understand what I'm talking about? We are talking about a God who is holy, pure, separate, different, unimaginably pure, and, well, holy. That's the word, right? And he is holy and he's unique, and in all his attributes and in his perfection, he is so different from us. And he is not like us. There is no impurity in him. There is no dross in him that has to be cleansed. All we have is white, hot holiness, in the presence of which the most righteous man on this earth will burn into ashes and be, destroyed at the moment.
I'm undone. That's what Isaiah said, right?
Yes. That's what Isaiah says. Isaiah, who had been saying, woe are you, Israel, woe are you, Israel, woe are you, Israel. And the last woe, the seventh woe, he had to pronounce it upon himself. God loves the number of completion, the number seven. And the seventh woe had to come upon himself when he saw that. And Isaiah was probably the most righteous man in Israel at that point. The prophet of God. and he sees God and his holiness, and there he is, completely undone. That's the best translation. That's my favorite, right? The translation of that word. He was undone. And that's what we have. And, you know, there's this thing about, even as we're talking about yes, yes, and no, we know, I think it's important that we talk about authority and modernity, a few of these things. Every generation, from the time of Genesis, we see this thing. They want to be autonomous. Autonomous in the sense, people assume as though they just sprung up from the ground, the present generation as it is, and suddenly they have this truth that no other generation has ever had. They have figured out things. We see this in the Adam and Eve. They had the same thing. They thought they had figured out things. You know, there is a secret knowledge that God is keeping from us. So let's have that knowledge. Let's eat of the fruit. We see this in the Tower of Babel, the same thing being done. Let's make a name for ourselves. Let's create a city. Let's build this huge tower, and so on and so forth. And Nadab and Abihu do the same thing. Let's offer strange fire. Somehow people think that they sprung up from the ground and they are the first ones to come up with this. And we see even in evangelicalism, in the modern days, that we have this distaste for the old creeds, and we have a distaste for this the confessions, the 689 or the Westminster Divines or the three forms of unity and everything. As though we somehow think that we have to come up with new truth today. And this runs, modernity is the oldest thing ever, right? Modernity, as much as it thinks that it is new, it is different in its ways, it's the same thing throughout history, repeating again and again. Bunch of people, sinners coming together and thinking that they are the ones who figured out truth. And what we have in our doctrines, what we have in our truth is reverence. The reason why we look at something like Nicene Creed and say this is God's gift to us, we want to be creedal, we want to be confessional, is because we understand we are not these unique unicorns who have the special gift of hermeneutics and interpretation, but we are indebted to these men and women from the past. God has used His church throughout history, and that is how we approach towards. That is how our approach towards doctrine should be, that God is a holy God. I do not get to play games with this. I am nothing but dust on this earth, and I want to depend upon God and His means of grace to understand doctrine. His means of grace would be this. One is like David would say, incline my heart to your testimonies, not to selfish gain. It is not just my mind, but my heart also, Lord, incline it towards your testimonies, and let me see your beauty, your wondrous work in the law. That is our dependence on Holy Spirit. Next, God has the foundation of the church, according to the epistle to Ephesians, it says that the foundation has already been laid through the apostles and the prophets and everyone. We go to that foundation. It was laid through the completed canon as well as the universal church of God through their testimony. We understand and recognize what the canon is. And we depend on the creeds and the early church creed as well as the canon to understand what the truth of God is. And we humble ourselves. We humble ourselves so that we can understand what truth is. We humble ourselves also because we understand what the truth is. And this is not possible unless we see some glimpse of the holiness of God. Because to understand truth, understand God, we have to understand ourselves like Isaiah did, that woe am I. But I am undone in the presence of the Lord.
You know, Pastor Michael, Ashuk brought up the tree of good and evil. And it seemed like that Adam and Eve wanted to understand good and evil in their own sense without learning it from God, without being, they wanted to usurp the authority of God and learn it in their own way. Same thing with the Tower of Babel. It was an attempt at world power, right? I mean, so this is a point that Ashuk made that I want you to expound on, Pastor Michael, because you see, God would have taught Adam the difference between good and evil in God's view, but they want to usurp that authority in their own view. And the Tower of Babel was an attempt at world power, right? And again, this goes against the holiness, and not only the holiness, but how about this, Pastor Michael, that you can, the sovereignty of God. Because if I look at chapter 11 in Genesis, you got an attempted world power. Then after God confuses their language, you got the election of the Shemites, right? So you got God electing a people over against the world trying to infiltrate themselves and becoming a world power. So that's a large level. That's a large scale. So, Michael, Pastor Michael, talk to me about God's sovereignty over the whole world. And I know that's a large topic, but as a pastor, I think that if somebody came and told you that when somebody gets murdered or if a bomb gets blown up or something like that, is God sovereign over that? I mean, those are tough questions, but you're a pastor and you're going to have to answer questions like that. So I'll put you on the spot here on the radio.
Yeah, you know, like Ashok was saying, when we talk about God's holiness, the word holy essentially means separate, completely other than what is on this side of it. It's God is entirely separate, entirely different. And that is not simply to say that he is another or to say that he is set apart in one way. He's entirely apart from us. You know, when the psalmist says his thoughts are higher than us, his ways are higher than us, that's exactly what he's talking about. God is so pure. God is so majestic. God is so precious. But what makes God's holiness so terrible is his sovereignty. It is not just that God is another, but that all creation belongs to him. It is not just that God is set apart and holy and pure, but that he is the creator of the universe and he is the judge of the universe. He is the one who has the sovereign authority to deal out judgment. He decides the moral standards of what is right and wrong. That's what makes it so terrifying. The terrifying aspect for even Isaiah when he stands before God's holiness is that he has to now submit to this God. He has no way to escape. There's no place he can, like David in Psalm 139, who says, there's no place I can go where you're not there. Right? I can go to the skies, to the oceans. I can go to the beneath the earth, wherever I go. Even if I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. There is no place that man can escape to. So we are confronted with these two realities, that God is extremely holy, pure, righteous, good, and he is the sovereign ruler of the whole universe. He is Lord over all. You know, and it's like Abraham Kuyper says, there is not one square inch upon the earth on which Christ will not cry mine. It all belongs to him. We belong to him. Our bodies belong to him. In fact, the Bible says that our very breath comes from him. So the fear of the Lord, I believe, is understanding these two realities, the holiness of God and the sovereignty of God, the holiness of God and his supreme authority. And so, like Ashok was saying earlier, we can never interpret the Bible based on our experiences. We have to always interpret our experiences based on the Bible. So given these two realities, when a bomb goes off or a terrible accident happens, we are confronted with a truth that God is both holy and sovereign, and that becomes then the framework by which we discern what's happening. And I think it was R.C. Sproul who gave that example where he said, you know, there was, I don't remember this very clearly, but he was saying that he saw one of the televangelists who was counseling a person who lost their loved one or something. And he was comforting them by telling them, don't worry, Jesus had nothing to do with it. And R.C. Sproul was saying, that's such a horrible message. That's such a devastating message that Jesus had nothing to do with it. There is no hope there. It was almost as though something missed Jesus' attention. You know, he was distracted for a moment and somebody died. But that's not the truth. You know, and the hope we have is that he neither slumbers nor sleeps. He is ever watchful. He is intimately acquainted with our ways. So what is most precious is that God is both holy and sovereign. And that is the framework we use to interpret everything. Now, if I might add one more thing. What is so stunning for me as a believer is when I am frightful at the sight of holiness and sovereignty, when I am frightful like I am, like Isaiah was, what is offered to me is this sovereign power, this holy power walks up to a wretch like me and I am not burnt up. I ought to be. And he comes and clothes me with his righteousness. The garment of his holiness is over me. And he, this sovereign holy Lord, goes to the cross to bear my sin. So when people tell me that God is all loving as an excuse to avoid holiness and sovereignty, they don't get the picture. God's love did not put aside his holiness. God's love fulfilled it. God's love clothed me in his holiness and took upon himself the wrath that I deserved so that I might be saved. And so for us as true believers, we can never bypass holiness. We can never bypass obedience. We can never bypass the call of Scripture to conform to Christ. We have to walk the only way to eternal life, and that is through Christ.
You know, that's a well said. I mean, both of you guys, this is a good lesson. And Michael Pastor Michael talks about this robe of righteousness that God gives his people. And I go back again, to the garden, but notice that Adam and Eve tried to robe themselves, right? I mean, they tried to put the fig leaves on them. And I think that, and they obviously wanted to usurp God's authority by learning good and evil in their own function. And that's why they had to have been thrown out of the garden, because then they want the tree of life in their own function. And it's just, you know, as Michael preaches to us and teaches us about the holiness of God, and Ashuk gives us the context of those things, I think, I don't know if people really get this, because Ashuk started out this whole topic by saying the holiness of God. I even speaking about this, I need to be in fear and trembling, right? I mean, because I don't know if we get this, but if we think about this, the holiness of God being such a holy God that he can't look upon sin, that his own son became sin for us. I mean, that's how, I mean, you can't get more holier than that. People say, well, why do I want to serve a God? And, you know, well, think about the wrath of God falling on his own son for God's people because of, like Pastor Michael and Ashuk said, it's because of the holiness of God. He can't look upon sin. It's his son that he takes his wrath upon for his people. Ashuk, we got about 5 minutes. I'm going to change topic for a second. And you got about 4.5 minutes to do this. Just change topic for a second. And just maybe because we heard that you are, and then we'll come back with some more theology on the next segment. So you're getting married, I heard. So saying. I mean, you got 4 minutes. I'm not going to take a lot of time. But yeah, I got Pastor Michael even smiling a little bit. Tell us about your future wife.
Yeah, my fiance, she's doing Bible college at the moment and at present. And she's a final year MDiv student at present. And So she is from a different state of India. It's a state called Manipur. Manipur borders with Myanmar. So she lives in a state that's at the easternmost end of India, and I live in a state that's at the southernmost tip of India. So we are 3,000 miles apart from each other. So it's a pretty long distance. And yes, what else do I say about her? Yes, she's a musician, and she is involved in children's ministry. So she teaches children. She does a lot of vacation Bible schools and teaches children the Bible, songs, Christian songs, of course, and all that. That's what she does. And yeah.
So who does the wedding?
Oh yeah, so Pastor Michael.
You ready, buddy, to marry Ola Shuk and his fiance soon, huh?
Yeah, I mean, if you're coming down, we can do it together.
Oh, see, you know, I got invited to the wedding too. You know, I told Rachel, she goes, "Can we go?" I said, "How are we going to go to India?" I said, "You know, Rachel would love to go." So we're about a couple of minutes away from this segment. You know, we are thankful. I am thankful for our connection with this wonderful church in India. And I've been thoroughly blessed. And now I'm doubly blessed again because Ashok is back. But we are going to continue in our next segment. You know, we might as well, Pastor Michael, we might as well in the last segment have Ashok try to convince us about post-millennium view of scripture, because I think that without getting him on and getting his view about that, I think that at least for the first time back, we got to put him on the spot. Now, I believe there's a lot to this. It's just that, man, for post-mill guys, they see the world is getting better, but you know, you can see snippets of things that are getting better. I mean, with the abortion thing, praise God for that, that we got the Supreme Court, right? Ashok is amening to that. But Ashok has got some convincing to do to some of the people. I think the world is getting a lot worse, right? especially with the current administration that's here in the United States. So you'd have a tough play with that. But how about if we give Ashok a little primer on post-mill? How's that, Pastor Michael? And then we'll have you kind of piggyback off that on our last segment. Is that okay with you, Pastor Michael?
Sure. I might even have questions to ask.
Yeah. Well, he's your congregant, so I'm asking permission from you because this is right up his alley. So we'll let him. And we figure if we catch him off guard a little bit, he might not be that prepared. You know, maybe we can. But knowing Ashok, he's probably prepared anyway. He's probably got some notes hidden under where we break for this. Michael, yeah. Pastor Michael, sign us off today, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a joy to do this every time. And, you know, we're thankful, and we're thankful for all of you listening in. This is Street Talk Theology. We take theology seriously, and we want to keep bringing it to the streets to all of you. May the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you all.
Thank you for joining us for Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. You can visit Pastor Dom at Desert Sky Baptist Church at 891 West Corson Road, Casa Grande. And for more information, visit us online at www.desertskybaptist.org.